हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 60, Chapter 5, The Purity of Devotional Service. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The same point is made in the Bhagavatam and later quoted in this chapter, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:2-71. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.42. With the words sve sve adhikare, different qualifications are signified for karma, jnana, and bhakti. The two, ubhayoho, refers to the good quality and the fault. For the person qualified for pure bhakti, performance of the actions of karma and jnana, or failure to perform bhakti, are both faults. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you're interested in pure bhakti, if you're engaged in karma and jnana, that's a fault. Or if you don't perform the activities of bhakti, then they're a fault. Mm-hmm. Right? But the other way around is not. Right, so giving up all other engagements means that you only see things in connection to Krishna. What you're doing is only activities connected to Krishna. So it means if an activity is useful in Krishna's service, you know, it's within your realm of your duties, you're performing it, that facility's there, you don't have to change it. But if some activities are just there because you're interested in them, but they're not so important, those might go away. Right, so all other engagements, it doesn't mean the secondary aspect, it means the primary. There's no other purposes for your activities but to please Krishna.
So Maharaj, especially a person who is practicing pure bhakti, is always aware.
They're always aware, yes.
Yeah,
just like the materialist is always aware of what will be good for themselves, the pure devotee is always aware of what's good for Krishna. So it's not that that awareness is not there in the living entity, it's just they're not used to doing it for anyone else other than themselves, or what's connected to them. Right? Then, from Bhagavatam, therefore, for a devotee engaged in my loving service, with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection within this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-31. So, they're not cultivating those specifically. They're just cultivating service. From that, naturally, knowledge and detachment come. But they're not cultivating the knowledge and detachment. So they're not trying to become scholars. They're not trying to become renounced. They're just trying to, they're just absorbing themselves in Krishna. One should continue to perform the Vedic ritualistic activities until one actually becomes detached from material sense gratification and develops faith for hearing and chanting about me. Right? So, the Vedic ritualistic activities are performed as long as that one is engaged in the natural activities. But as soon as one is not interested in material sense gratification, right, and has developed faith for hearing and chanting, then it's just pure devotion is what they're involved in. If they give up some material sense gratification but don't have that faith for hearing and chanting, then they'll take up jnana. Right? In other words, they'll move from karma to jnana. And then hopefully at some point from jnana to bhakti. But here is that one can just move from whatever position directly to bhakti. It says bhakti is what actually the soul is qualified for. Mm-hmm. Right? Those qualified for jnana and karma are persons without such faith in bhakti. Right? They think something else is important along with it. Mm-hmm. Right? There must be knowledge, or there must be the activities, you have to be practical. You know, these kind, there must be detachment. These things, then it's not directly about bhakti. These are nice things to use in the service of bhakti, but it's not about bhakti. Though they may begin practicing pure bhakti by devotee association, they quickly show disrespect. As a result, they fail to attain their goals. In that sense, they become full of fault by giving up that for which they are qualified, namely jnana and karma. Viparyaya, opposite, means not to be fixed in performing work for which one is qualified. And also, to become fixed in some other work for which one is not qualified. Footnote 22. It is far better to discharge one prescribed duties, even though faulty, than another duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duty, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Bhagavad Gita 3:35. So, whatever one's duty means, you have this dual aspect that's here. Means if you're in the path of bhakti, then you don't perform the activities of karma and jnana, even though you could do them very nicely. Right? In the same way as someone who's qualified for karma and jnana, they may be engaged in bhakti, but they wouldn't give up their position in karma and jnana because they're not qualified for pure bhakti. And so, if they do, then they'll fall back from there. So that won't be good. Right? That would be the one aspect. The other is just, you have the aspect within the external qualification, what qualities of the body and mind you have, you do those activities. Mm-hmm. And if you try to do someone else's because you figure that there's some more benefit in it, you know, there's more social status, there's more, you know, like these kind of things, then it's still not good. It's not pleasing to Krishna, because the idea is you're trying to please Krishna, not the public. Mm-hmm. Oh, if we do this, it'll be more socially acceptable. But since when are we trying to please the society? Since they're unpleasable. Right? I mean, any intellectual knows you can't please society. That's just the common theme through anyone who's intellectual. Right? And thoughtful and all that. They know it's just the grind, the rat race. Everyone's just going through. No one's satisfied. No one is happy. Everyone's looking for something more. And that's just standard. That's the standard issue. When you go to the desk and say, you know, and you say, okay, slightly thoughtful person, then they hand you that portfolio. Right? Means it's just that you have to be skeptical of the world, because it's this, there's nothing really there. It's never shown itself. There's no history of anything being otherwise. You know what I'm saying? So therefore then for the devotee, they don't get involved in these other aspects. They just perform what they're supposed to do. So, trying to please the public, trying to please other individuals, you're trying to please their conditioning. And since they've had that conditioning since time immemorial, and they've been changing it constantly since time immemorial, when has any individual person ever been satisfied? When has a group of persons ever been satisfied? There might be a moment here and there, but, you know, why would one be trying for that? You know what I'm saying? If you please Krishna, then you please everybody. You know, that's the actual point.
In that line, it is very important, if it is not fully clear, to follow the authority.
Yes, to follow the authority of this and that. But authority means that is in spiritual authority. What you see, it's coming, it's about Krishna. Because otherwise, yes, we can try to follow the authority of what the people do and what they're saying on internet. But then the problem comes is that that's constantly changing. And one person says one thing, but someone else is saying just the same and the opposite. Just as we're saying in logic, you can present a logical point and someone else with a better ability in logic and give the opposite point. Same on the political platform, same on the social platform, same in the economic platform, same in the sensual platform. Is that whatever you say, someone else will say the opposite. So it's just, that's the material. So we're not interested in that. We're only interested in the absolute.
Can we summarize that it's also essential to have Shiksha Guru? Because even sometimes among devotees, you can have a different answer to the same question.
Yes, yes. But so that's what you see is what's there. That's the cultivation of the senior association, is that then those who their directions you're able to follow. It works for you.
Yes.
So you'll, even amongst senior devotees, you'll have those that you respect. You like what they say and this and that. Then they'll be with amongst those who specifically they can say something that you yourself can use.
Yes.
Like-minded, like that. So then you take shelter of that if you don't know. So. Okay, 1266. In the first canto it is said, if someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness, and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? Moreover, what can one gain if one performs his occupational duties perfectly, but does not worship the Lord? Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17. Right. So now they're showing that, okay, of this is that you focus on Krishna consciousness, but you don't necessarily focus. I mean, you don't necessarily do well in. If you don't do well, it means you do really nicely in your. You prefer your occupation, and thereby reduce the Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's, in other words, your occupation is going nicely at the expense of your Krishna consciousness. And you're doing well, you're professional, you're doing everything perfectly, you know, you're respected, you're this, you're that, and then you die and everybody else who is connected with it dies, and then it's all gone. What was gained, right? But the other hand is that you focus more, you let's say you err on the side of Krishna consciousness, and maybe you weren't so good at the material things, but the point is you get the eternal benefit for that. Even if people say, you know, so many things. But they're going to say those things anyway. Even if you do everything perfect, don't worry. There are people who are talking behind your back and saying, they got something to say. Yeah. You know, you're perfect at your job. The boss likes you, everyone, you know, this and that. All the other guys in the company thinks you're a suck-up, you know, and that, you know, it's like this. So it doesn't matter. You cannot please everybody. So why even bother? Right? You choose who you want to please. So that starts with Guru, Krishna, the Vaishnavas, and then of Vaishnavas, then the ones that you yourself find you are able to appreciate and follow. And if they're happy, it doesn't matter if everybody else isn't. Because there is no such thing as pleasing everybody. The only way to please everybody is to please Krishna. Right? He's a universal form, so he is everybody. Right? You're trying to please these people, but actually what you're trying to please is not the soul, it's actually Krishna's universal form, so it's Krishna. Now you're trying to please, so this illusion that you think that it's Krishna, so instead of pleasing Krishna, you're trying to please these people. They're not the people, it's Krishna. But you're not trying to please Krishna. Right? No, so it's a real problem. Right? Does that make sense? You're trying to please their conditioning, but they're not the conditioning. And you're not pleasing Krishna, who actually is the potencies behind those conditioning. Does that make sense? So better to please Krishna. You know, so it's in a similar vein. You know, the principle's the same. The detail's an economic one. It's a Chinese proverb. Right? I won't say it in Chinese, just because. But the basic thing is that it's about lending money. Right? And so, you want money, I know give, you get mad. I give money, you don't give it back, I get mad. Right? Better you get mad.
Yes.
Yeah, you know pay. That's it.
Confucius.
That's Confucius. Okay, it's Confucius. So that's the way it works. So it comes down to, everybody else is seemingly, but they're not happy anyway. Even he's taking your money and doesn't give it back, he's still not satisfied. So he's not satisfied and you're unsatisfied. But at least the other way, then, you know, you're serving Krishna and no one else is satisfied, and what to do? At least one out of two, you know, is satisfied. Well, the other way is nobody's satisfied. Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhupada's logic is perfect. Prabhupada's Pratyaksha Praman is perfect. Prabhupada's Shabda Praman is perfect. Prabhupada's cultural understanding of the Shabda in the scripture is perfect. How to apply everything perfect. Prabhupada himself went to an extent of saying in 1968 lecture, I have never broken the four negative principles in my life. Yeah. And I think that's similar year lecture. Prabhupada said, I'm done with friendship, I'm done with love, I'm done with everything. Directly said that. And still there were groups, and right now also,
Yeah, but that's the point is it's you're always going to find it. It's just like I think someone was saying they were talking about the park, you know, in the temple. It's a huge, beautiful park, all the flowers, everything's so wonderful, and the walkways and the lawns and the seats, and it's just an amazing, it's a huge place. Says, but still, in the corner, there's, in some place out of the way, there's some stool. The fly will fly past all that and land on the stool. But the fun part is with Prabhupada, there isn't any. So that's the thing. They have, it's they have to perceive. It's their perception. That's why we don't trust Pratyaksha. Because they're taking it that their position is right, but they're conditioned. How can they even see anything properly? This statement is supported by Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 5th Chapter, verse 17, wherein Sri Narad Muni advises Vyasadeva thus, quote, even if one does not execute a specific occupational duty, but immediately takes direct shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, Krishna, there will be no fault on his part, and in all circumstances his position is secure. Even if, by some bad association, he falls down while executing devotional service, or if he doesn't finish the complete course of devotional service and dies untimely, still he is not at a loss. A person who is simply discharging his occupational duty in Varnan Ashram, however, with no Krishna consciousness, practically does not gain the true benefit of human life. End quote. The purport is that all conditioned souls who engage very frantically in activities for sense gratification, without knowing that this process will never help them get out of material contamination, are watered only with repeated births and deaths. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.6, it is clearly stated by Rishabdev to his sons, persons engaged in fruitive activities are repeatedly accepting birth and death. And until they develop a loving feeling for Vasudeva, there'll be no question of getting out from these stringent laws of material nature. Right? Because the laws are controlled by Krishna, so unless you surrender to Krishna, you don't get out of the modes. Even you're the big, big jnani, very renounced, absorbed in Brahman, but it's still Krishna's modes. Right? So even if you get out of the specific aspects of the modes that come after the false ego, right? It means you have false ego, right? Then, within the Mahatattva, to apply that, then you have three forms of that: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So even you get out of that goodness, passion, and ignorance and come to the spiritual platform, the difficulty is there's still that false ego. They don't know who they are because they think I'm God or I'm just Brahman. You know, they don't understand how they're serving the Krishna. So they're still under the control of the material energy. Right? But if one who surrenders to Vasudeva, right, then everything works perfectly. The purport is that all conditioned souls who are engaged very frantically in activities for sense gratification, without knowing that this process will never help them out of material contamination, are watered only with repeated births and deaths. So there may be a little lull in their births and deaths. They'll sit there in Mahakalapura thinking that they're absorbed and meditating there on Brahman, but it's just a matter of time before they fall back into the material world. Right? So in Mahakalapura, then they're working on a bigger time frame. And so how long will they be there? Does that make sense? I'll be there some time, yes, a long time. But still, compared to those who live there, like Lord Shiva and his associates, it's not that much time at all. And so they'll be back. Right. But they will not get a star on the sidewalk.
But Maharaj, how is it possible that about all the samsara we forget? We forget easily, no? If we don't forget this, where we are, how the guna are working, means it's more easy to become Krishna conscious if we don't forget.
If we don't forget Krishna.
But it's very easy to forget Krishna. Or it's very,
yes. But it's just a matter of desire, because we're practiced at not remembering Krishna and always forgetting, right? That's the material aphorism, like that. So it's practice, but it's that Krishna gives the ability. He's the ability in man. So we want to forget Krishna. Krishna is everything. How do you forget? You know. That everything's Krishna. You know what I'm saying? He is everything, literally.
Yes.
So how is it possible to forget? So it's that someone wants to forget, then Krishna allows you to forget, so you become covered. Is that... Yeah. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.6, it is clearly stated by Rishabdev to his sons. Persons engaged in fruitive activities are repeatedly accepting birth and death, and until they develop a loving feeling for Vasudeva, there will be no question of getting out from these stringent laws of material nature. As such, any person who is very seriously engaged in his occupational duties in the varnas and ashramas, and who does not develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, should be understood to be simply spoiling his human form of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the point is performance of the duties nicely, because then the results in that are for Krishna, and you're trying to please Krishna, so you're trying to do things, you know, very consciously so that they're nice for Krishna, then that's fine. Being professional then is an ornament.
Yes.
Right? But if we think that being professional is in itself the ornament, and that's what makes devotional service wonderful. Right? Then we've missed the point, because Krishna wears ornaments. He makes the ornaments more beautiful. So the ornaments are things that make nice. But the point is bhakti, like Krishna, it's only what you're using in Krishna's service, then it becomes an ornament. It's not an ornament on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because otherwise the same qualities you see in the materialist, but they're not devotional. Jiva Goswami's commentary. What misfortune can there be for a person who has begun bhakti, even if, yatra, he was born in a lowly family? What misfortune can there be for a person? Okay. So, means, for someone born, means, what position, what can be unfortunate for someone who begins bhakti, right? It's the most auspicious thing. Even if someone's born in a low family. There's nothing that can make it inauspicious. Right? Va has the sense of apitu, even, yet. There's no loss at all if he does not complete bhakti, because the impressions of bhakti continue unbroken in future lives. So those impressions are there, you will take them up again. What values attained from following prescribed duties by those who do not worship the Lord? Abhijatam. Nothing at all. Right? So if you're following your duties to please Krishna, then it all goes together. But it's the devotion that lasts. And your desire to please Krishna and work for Krishna. But the specifics that you've done, they're done in the material platform, you know, within the material phenomena, they'll be lost with the phenomena. But the impressions that are there from doing that for Krishna, that's eternal. 1.267. In the 11th canto it is said, he perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possess favorable qualities that purify the performer. And he knows that neglect of such duties constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. He is thus considered the best among all living entities. Right, so the ordinary religious duties prescribed by Krishna in the various Vedic literatures, they purify the performer. So until one's come to that point of pure bhakti, they are to be performed because they will keep you in a pure state. They will help you move forward.
Yes.
Right? But having taken that complete shelter, then if they're useful in that service that they're doing, then they're continued. And if they're not, then they're dropped. But that's only once one comes to that point of pure devotion. Right? So it's not whimsical. It's just that they're engaged in the service and that lasts. So let's say the person is doing so many things and let's say doing puja. And he just gets fully absorbed in the puja, you know, the doing the deity worship in the temple all day. He drops all the other duties. You know, so what's the loss? It's all about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. But that's only if you're absorbed like that, then that works very nicely. You know, in the same way as you're doing so many things that are social and all those things. And if not, then you drop all those things. Does that make sense? You know, just like I think was telling the other day about the big businessman and the aspect of the fancy car, and others take him seriously. And so then one devotee, he's the one who mentioned that about that and about others and why they do. But staying in Bombay, there's no parking. So he only keeps a little car. Because if he had a big car, where would he park? He couldn't do anything. So even though it may be that, but it doesn't function, so he doesn't bother. Srila Prabhupada. This is confirmed also in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? We say the purity of devotional service. And we've seen in these openings to establish the position of devotional service and the attitude, 11th canto has been very prominent. This is confirmed also in this 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 32, in which the Lord says to Uddhava, "My dear Uddhava, any person who takes shelter of me in complete surrender and follows my instructions, giving up all occupational duties, is to be considered the first-class man." Right? So he's not doing occupational duties because they maintain, because he has that duty, because he's just engaged in activities connected with Krishna, and that's all he does. So for him, they're not occupational duties anymore. Or it may be he doesn't even have to do occupational duties. He just is engaged in a direct devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So it works on both platforms, because you see both examples. Those who, like Narad Muni, he doesn't have an occupation. He just preaches. But then you see Rishabhdev, he has an occupation. He's a Kshatriya. But for him, he's only doing it because as service to the Lord. He's not doing it because this then maintains his family and engages in conditioning, and as Kshatriyas, they need to do something like this and that. And it's not like that at all. He has only a need to serve the Lord. Does that make sense? So for him, it's not an occupational duty. So when we say, "Oh, but if you don't do that, how you maintain yourself?" That's an occupational duty. So it's a matter of how you see it. So the point is, they don't see anything separate from Krishna anymore. That doesn't. Oh, so we can continue the occupational duty. It's still an occupational duty if you think like that. No, it's just what's favorable. So one's a family person, that family situation is favorable. You know, everyone's engaged nicely in the Lord's service, has that potential. So then one's performing those activities that maintain it. So it's just service to take care of the Vaishnavas so they can do service. So it's not an occupation. He's not trying to become rich and famous or recognized. He's just trying to do everything nicely. Does that make sense?
No, he's always... the distinction between primary and secondary.
It's always the distinction. Means when it's primary, means that's where the thought is. Then all secondary is seen in how it contacts with the primary. But if we get into secondary, even though ultimately it is for Krishna, then we're still distracted by that. And we can make mistakes where we don't see it connected to Krishna. So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, it'd be, oh, of course it's for Krishna. But the thing is, but are you seeing it like that all the time? Right? You have to be practical and get into the thing. Okay, yes, you're getting to some technical thing, but then when you pull back, how is that connecting? Is it connecting nicely? Because that's the point, is how do you follow that which is going to serve Krishna nicely? Because there's options. You know, it's not like there's only one way to manage something. Right? Sorry, so, yeah. In this statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is understood that people who are generally attracted to philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, political, and social welfare activities may be considered nice men only in the calculation of the material world. Right? So we don't look at it from this, because if you see all living entities connected to Krishna, and therefore you have compassion for all living entities, you already encompass all this.
Yes.
It's not that these things will make Krishna consciousness great. No, they won't. From Srimad Bhagavatam and other authentic Vedic scriptures, we learn further that if a person simply acts in Krishna consciousness and discharges devotional service, he is considered to be far, far better situated than all of those persons engaged in philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, and social welfare activities. That's why we don't use these as a foundation for our social setup. We use Varnashram, we use the Veda. Because these others, philanthropic, what's not? What's ethical? What's moral? What's altruistic? What's social? Welfare, who defines that?
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense? Because they say, no, but you're helping the people. Yes, okay, let's say, okay, the big businessman and his community, and they're working closely with the government there, and trying to reduce their amount of tax and all that, because they're, you know, growing the business, and so much more, how you say, volume of money will be coming through the system, because volume is very important, but they can only do that if they reduce the taxes and all that like this. So then they're getting benefit from that. So then, we as a social welfare and philanthropic and all that, are we agreeing with that point? No. We'll say, why is it they're getting less? Why everybody else? So it's not about people getting benefit. It's about people getting specific benefit that we say they should get in the way we say they should get it. So who defines what's right and what's not? So only Shastra does. Right? The scriptures, authority, Shabda, that's what establishes what is right and what is wrong. And if you follow that, then there will be no mistake based on our conditioning. So that's why we just do devotional service, and all these things are naturally included. Does that make sense? Jiva Goswami's commentary. With the list of qualities mentioned in the verses previous to this quote from Bhagavatam, starting with Kripalur Akrita Droha, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.29. The position of a person fixed in his dharma has been presented, showing a type of bhakti characterized by hearing about the Lord, mixed with karma and dhyan, according to the commentary, which explains that the word kavi in verse Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.31 means a jnani, kavi samyak jnani. What happens consequently is described in the present verse. There's the present verse. This is the. This is 32. Yeah, he's considered the best. Okay. Even though he does not possess those qualities, and though understanding that the qualities such as mercy are good and the opposites are bad, guna doshan agyaya, he rejects all the dharmas prescribed by Varnashram, specifically all prescribed daily and periodic duties which have been designated by me, maya dishtan. Right? You're doing something and then you renounce it, you can say you renounced. But if you're not doing it and you renounce them, you can't be said to be renounced. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right, so you're giving up the qualities listed by Krishna to perform activities given by Krishna. But if you're not performing activities given by Krishna, you're giving up those duties to do activities that are not given by Krishna. Then how is that renunciation? Right, renunciation means you have something, then you give it up. Does that make sense? Yeah. Since they are obstacles to ananya bhakti to me, by mentioning rejection of varnashram dharma, it's understood there should be rejection of jnana as well. Right? So it means they both go. Karma goes and jnana goes. Not the jnana, because it's renunciation. So yeah, you give that up, but the jnanis are all doing that. So that also goes. Rejecting both karma and jnani should worship me. He, also, cha, is the best person, sattama. The particle cha signifies that the previous description with good qualities indicated the best person, sattama. But the last person mentioned, even without those qualities, but who gives up all duties and worships me alone, is also sattama. Footnote 23. Verses 29 to 31 describe 28 qualities of a saintly person, and verse 32, quoted, explains the highest perfection of life. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the 17th quality, matsharana, or taking complete shelter of Lord Krishna, is the most important. The other 27 qualities automatically appear in one who has become a pure devotee of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarver gunais tatra samasate sura. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. So, if we're going to fall back on our own position, our own material qualification, and try to develop good qualities, then unless we have the ingredients to make good qualities out of, we may not get very far. Right? But bhakti itself will manifest all good qualities. So if we're saying, oh, there's lack of qualities, then there should be more bhakti. Yes. Let's say, oh, you have to work on this quality, but with what? Yes. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have, how you say it? It's like we had some bananas. We could make banana milkshake if we only had some milk. So in other words, there's nothing to work with.
That's why the funny are using that type of food.
Yes, but the point is it's only bhakti will develop the good qualities. So if we're seeing a lack of good qualities, then bhakti is the only answer, not karma and jnana. Not being professional, not trying to impress the public. Because you can't impress the public. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's funny like that. So the modes of nature will just take you for a ride.
Yes.
And you won't actually get. She Maya covers us, and then she throws us, and we don't even notice.
Yes.
So we have to be situated in devotional service, that will develop the good qualities. So by associating with devotees, then you learn with authority, and that then you learn what is appropriate etiquette for the Vaishnavas. Naturally, good qualities develop. He is equivalent to the person having those qualities, right? If you have that surrender to the Lord, he's equal to those that have that, because it's just a matter of time before they manifest. But the person who is trying to separately endeavor for those qualities, they may never gain those qualities. Right? Because development of these qualities, changing that whole character, it takes hundreds and thousands of lifetimes. Does that make sense? Yeah. 1268. It is also stated there, Anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligations, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, mankind, or forefathers. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.41. Right? So, now if someone's coming from a Vedic background and say, no, but all these things are there, then they should know the philosophy is that Vishnu is the source of everything, so if you please Vishnu, then everything works. Right? You know, you water the root of the tree and all everything becomes satisfied. You know, it's just like, let us say, if you have a good meal, right? Proper meal and whatever, you know, all the circumstances, everything's very nice. Now, do you not feel good? Not just the taste that was there, but just physically feel good. Right? You know, something sense. You know, kind of thing. So, but the point is the whole body wasn't involved in the enjoyment of that food or the eating of the food. You understand? But the whole body feels good. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's the whole point. If we serve Krishna and he's pleased, we'll feel good. Because we're part and parcel of Krishna. Yeah.
The Bhagavatam verse says that when you eat nice food, then you get nourishment, you feel free from hunger, and you feel satisfied. All three things.
Yes, everything comes on its own. You don't have to separately endeavor. While eating, you're not trying to get rid of the hunger or get rid of the gain the satisfaction. It just comes on its own. So that's the whole thing. Is that when Prabhupada says it's automatic, he means it's automatic. That you follow the process. All these other things will happen automatically. Yes. Right? And then others may say, oh no, but this is fanatic and this and that, but they'll only choose the ones that they like. You know, they might choose family members, but forefathers, do they care? Not necessarily. Humankind, yeah, as long as they're liberal, yes. General living entities, not necessarily. Maybe. Sages, no. Demigods, no. You know what I'm saying? So the point is one is doing because of the duty, the benefit they'll get. They're worried if they give these up that they'll lose something. So they have faith that in Krishna consciousness, if you're serving Krishna, nothing is lost. Because if you gain Krishna, you've gained everything. Well, if you gain the benediction of all these, but not Krishna, then what's been gained at all? Right? And those who don't follow the Vedic, they only pick and choose from this what parts they like, saying that, oh, it's fanatic, this kind of rule. But they're only choosing what they like. You know, it's just one, oh, why don't they choose them all? No, they just choose what they want. And it'll be different from the next person. Is that...
these elements and the other five elements of the pillars of Varnashram Dharma, cows, women, brahmacharis, old people, brahmanas, the most politically correct entity to go for is the animal, the cow. Nobody has a problem and you're all safe on all sides. That's how they can choose these items.
Oh, okay.
Correct. At this hour, at this circumstance, everybody happy, nobody hates a cow, and you know, you hug a cow, everybody loves you.
Yes.
There is no gender, there is no, you know, male patriarchy, nothing, no.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it all works out. There's no authority.
No authority.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. Srila Prabhupada. The same thing is still more emphatically confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 15th chapter, verse 41, in which Karabhajana Muni addresses Maharaj Nimi as follows, quote, "My dear king, if someone gives up his occupational duties as they are prescribed for the different varnas and ashrams, but takes complete shelter, surrendering himself unto the lotus feet of the Lord, such a person is no more a debtor, nor has he any obligation to perform the different kinds of activities we render to the great sages, ancestors, living entities, and family and society members. Nor has he any need to bother executing the five kinds of yajñas, sacrifices for becoming free from sinful contamination. Simply by discharging devotional service, he is free from all kinds of obligations." So if he's free from all this, it's also free from any other social obligations and all that. You know, so we can't use this that, see, we're devotees, we don't have to follow the Varnashram, but then we have to follow the modern construct of things and up to that. I don't mean you don't follow the laws and all that. I mean, meaning that we have faith in the certain aspects of the modern social system, that will somehow make everything good. But this means you're not worried about that. You're worried about pleasing Krishna. Right? Now, devotees, by Lord Chaitanya's direction, then they're humble. They're tolerant. They respect others. They're not looking for respect. Is there any circle that you would move in that wouldn't work? You know what I'm saying? You're not bothered by anyone else. You're respecting them. You're not looking for a position and respect for yourself. Is there any circle you could move in that wouldn't work? So if you're doing that, why wouldn't it work socially anywhere? So that's what you're doing for Lord Chaitanya. So you don't need these other things. It automatically makes things work. Nor is any need to bother The purport is that as soon as a man takes his birth, he is immediately indebted to so many sources. He is indebted to the great sages because he profits by reading their authoritative scriptures and books. For example, we take advantage of the books written by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva has left for us all the Vedas. Before Vyasadeva's writing, the Vedic literature was simply heard, and the disciples would learn the mantras quickly by hearing and not by reading. Later on, Vyasadeva thought it wise to write down the Vedas, because in this age people are short memory and unable to remember all the instructions given by the spiritual master. Therefore, he left all the Vedic knowledge in the form of books, such as the Puranas, Vedanta, Mahabharata, and Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many other sages like Shankaracharya, Gautama Muni, and Narad Muni, to whom we are indebted because we take advantage of their knowledge. Similarly, we are obliged to our forefathers because we take our birth in a particular family where we take all advantages and inherit property. Right? Just you're born there, you get property. Right? You know. Therefore, we are indebted to the forefathers and we have to offer them pinda, prasad, after they are dead. Similarly, to the people in general, we are also indebted, as well as to our relatives, friends, and even animals, such as cows and dogs, who render us so much service. In this way, we are indebted to the demigods, to the forefathers, to the sages, to the animals, and to society in general. It is our duty to repay them all by proper discharge of duty. But by the one stroke of devotional service, if someone gives up all obligations and simply surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is no longer a debtor, nor obliged to any other source of benefit. Right? So he's not a debtor because all he does is serve Krishna. Right? So by serving Krishna and everything coming from Krishna, therefore all these debts are paid. Mm-hmm. But you don't just say we're devotees and then don't do this and don't engage in pure devotion. Right?
So Maharaj, if someone is not a devotee of Krishna, then for example he does not he's indebted to the sages, for example, the scripture.
Yes.
So what do you need to do?
Study the scriptures. You know, with the proper attitude, you know, under guru, like that. That daily recitation of scriptures, and that's what they're supposed to do. Right, to the demigods is the daily performance of yajna. Like that. To the taking care of the family members, you know, things like this, guests, anyone that come like this, taking care of Brahmins, you know, then that takes care of those aspects. Like that. And he has to take care of himself. Right? It means he has to eat and maintain himself. Otherwise, how does he do these duties? So, all these aspects you have to do. It doesn't matter if you're born in the Vedic system or not, they still apply. It's God's world. Right? That's the way it works. Does that make sense?
In that world, there's a need of work.
Yes, you have to work. Hey, even Krishna, who has nothing to do, comes here and works. Like that.
You work as a devotee, or more complicated to follow this,
yes. It means, yes, So that's why it's simple. You just take shelter of Krishna. So there's no, you're not engaging in material activities, but you're engaging in spiritual. But not engaging material and not in spiritual, then that's akarma. You're not doing anything. Right? So, how you say that following the Acharya Maynard G. Krebs will not get you anywhere. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Giving up all obligations. Parihritya kartam. Here means that the devotee rejects the distraction of one's attention caused by thinking that Indra Chandra must be worshipped. Having surrendered sharanam gataha, that person has destroyed all prarabdha karmas and consequently destroys being situated in varnashram, since he has no material gunas. Right, so you're not situating material that by your gunas. You're just engaged in the activities of devotional service. So whatever you're engaged in, whatever you have the ability to engage in, that's what you do. But it's not because these are your gunas, that's why you do this work. You know what I'm saying? That person is no longer obligated to perform regular varnashram duties. And he only performs those that are connected with devotional service. Because if you follow the pancharatrik system, it's complete in itself. Right? You're just engaged in the Lord's service. So those things from varnashram that are useful in the daily worship of the deity, then they're already included within the pancharatrik system. Right? So you don't have to separately engage in duties outside of that. But if you want to extend beyond that, then yes, then the Vedic system's there. So the karma and jnana is there so you can engage yourself and then be engaged in Krishna's service. But if you find with time there's no need for those other obligations, they're not you don't need to perform them. So, instead of kartam, sometimes the word krityam is seen. This shows the meaning, duty. 1.2.69. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, giving up all dharmas, surrender to me alone, I will deliver you from all sins. Do not worry. Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita also the Lord says, give up all your occupations and just become surrendered unto me. I give you assurance that I shall give you protection from all sinful reactions. One may think that because he is surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will not be able to perform all his other obligations. But the Lord says repeatedly, don't hesitate. Don't consider that because you are giving up all other engagements, there will be some flaw in your life. Don't think like that. I will give you all protection. That is the assurance of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. That you're giving up these other duties, you may think that, oh, then there'll be something wrong here. But no. Krishna will take care. You're engaged in his service, he takes care. Right? These other things are just there to get the conditioned living entity to at least accept higher authority, consider others, and do all these things. Be dutiful, be regular. Does that make sense? So that kind of activity, be aware of the daily, be aware of the occasional activities. And that way they're aware of something besides just themselves. So it's a step forward. But when you come to be aware of service to the Lord, then these aren't so important. Right? Then it's just pleasing the Lord that's important. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The word pari, fully, should be understood to mean that the rejection, tyaga, should be complete. Quote, I will free you from all sins, sarva pape biha, means, I will free you from all impediments to bhakti. Right? Because that's the point. The sins get in the way of bhakti. Right? It means the situations that you're in, they are not always so wonderful. That's not the sin that gets in your way. It's the attitude that's created from that storehouse of sin. That's the problem. So by Krishna's grace, that goes away. But the situational things that you find yourself in, that may or may not change as Krishna sees as best. Right, so we shouldn't take that as the symptom. And if it does work out nice, you know it's Krishna's grace, and so that's very nice. But if it doesn't, then you know that it's also Krishna's grace, because there's something there to learn from that. There's something you'll gain from that. There's no sin for them because those with faith in bhakti give up the duties of dharma by the order of the Lord. 1270. In the Augusta Samhita, it is said, just as the rules and prohibitions of the Smriti scriptures do not approach a liberated person, the rules and prohibitions applicable to the Vaidika or tantric worship also do not touch the worshipper of Ram. Right, so rules and regulations, the Smriti, but also the Vaidika, the Tantrika, none of them approach those who worship the Lord. There's additional evidence in the Augusta Samhita. Quote, as the regulative principles of scripture are not required by a liberated person, so the ritualistic principles indicated in the Vedic supplements are also not required for a person duly engaged in the service of Lord Ramachandra. End quote. In other words, the devotees of Lord Ramachandra or Krishna are already liberated persons and are not required to follow all the regulative principles mentioned in the ritualistic portions of the Vedic literature. Footnote 24. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Bhagavad Gita 2:52. Right, so not required to follow all the regulative principles. So those ones that are recommended even after taking up devotional service, those are the ones that are done. Does that make sense? Jiva Goswami's commentary. The rules and prohibitions, Vaidi Nishedao, mentioned in this verse, are those belonging to the Smritis, dealing with Varnashram in the material gunas. These do not apply to the liberated persons beyond the gunas. The worshipper of Ram, a Vaishnava, is also not obliged to follow the rules of worship according to the Vedas or tantric texts, vidhi purvakam. That is because those rules enjoin worship of devatas. He still follows rules of bhakti as a follower of Vaidi bhakti. The rules of bhakti that are given that the acharyas recommend, that he follows. Mm-hmm. Right? So there are so many Vedic rules. Then the acharyas from that show these ones are the ones we follow as devotees. Then when we hear we don't need to follow the rules, means all those Vedic rules that the acharyas didn't include. Not that we say, oh, the acharyas are giving us rules, we don't have to follow the rules, we don't have to follow the rules of the acharyas. No, they've already simplified it and made it very nicely direct. Like we see Gopal Bhatta Goswami and all the rituals that are given, then there's no demigods. They're all removed. Because they're all Krishna. So they show how they all go back to Krishna.
Maharaj, this example that you gave, that Acharyas said won't do this, it's not hypothetical, it's actually real. Some big persons once said that Sarvadharma Paritajya, Varnashama Dharma, should be Paritajya, should be given. It's logically constructed.
Yes, means that when we say that, we mean Varnashram from the point of you're doing it because it's the duties and the benefits you'll get, so the aspect of karma. Or from the aspect of yan, we're performing those same duties without attachment, so therefore then we're getting liberated. So that's not the reason we're doing. We're only following Varnashram in what the acharyas have given us because that's pleasing to Krishna. Mm. One, 271. And in the 11th canto it is said, one who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. Right? So what's the reaction we're talking about here, as mentioned before? The obstacle or impediment to being engaged in pure devotional service. Right? That won't cause an impediment to their service. They'll still be able to perform the service. And by being steady in the service, then these distractions will go away. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.542. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, chapter 42, Karabhajana Muni addresses King Nimi and says, my dear king, a person who has given up the worship of the demigods and has completely concentrated his energy in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become very, very dear to the Lord. As such, if by chance or mistake he does something which is forbidden, there's no need for him to perform any purificatory ceremonies, because the Lord is situated within his heart. He takes compassion for the devotee's accidental mistake and corrects him from within. Right? So, therefore, we don't try to... Means if we're giving some direction for a devotee, you know, personally trying to help them, then we might point out where the weakness is in this and that, and how then you have to correct. Like that. Right? But if we're talking about others and all that, we shouldn't then be trying to show how it's not accidental. Does that make sense? Because the point is, accidental means they're not planning to go in this direction, but they somehow know they get distracted by Maya. So in that distraction by Maya, they may make plans. But for them, it wasn't that they think it's okay to get into Maya. You know what I'm saying? But if in any way, shape, or form is any kind of plan made within that position of being fallen, they'll take it as it's not accidental. So therefore, this rule doesn't apply. Therefore, we can punish them.
Yes.
But then, even you want to say that it's not accidental and all that. But we're Vaishnavas. Why would we use prayaschitta? Because we don't see it as a function of any use. Mm-hmm. We see it only devotional services. So you can say, they're not qualified for this. But then, by that same statement, we have to be careful that we're not disqualifying ourselves also. Because then, if that's the case, then we're not in a position to, you know, make a criticism or to give a punishment or give direction. Because only engagement in pure devotional service will correct the situation. Right? So accidental means they are not planning that, it's just the ways of the modes of nature then. Does that make sense? Yeah. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in many places that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, takes a special interest in his devotees and declares emphatically that nothing can cause his devotees to fall down. He is always protecting them. It's like one devotee once mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that, oh, Prabhupada, so many devotees have gone away. Like, you know, they've given up Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, no, very few have gone away. You know, like that. He was saying someone's gone away if they... He said, if they've taken up meat eating, then you know they've gone away. But even if you don't see them active, we would call them that they've, you know, fallen down or blooped or whatever it is. But the point is they're still Krishna conscious. They still know what the standards are. Maybe they don't have the strength to follow or that determination and all that. But they know. They're still committed to that, ultimately that process. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada considered that very few, you know, went away.
Yes. So, and you see, was very eager to, when the devotee came back, to receive them.
Yes, we see even engage them again. Not, oh, you did this, you did that, and then, you know, then what's the point? You know, then it just turns into a whole thing. You did this, you did that. Yeah, but at this time you did this and did this. So, you know, like that. So. So that's a problem. Shiva Goswami's commentary. For one who has given up thoughts of worshipping anyone else, Chaitanya Bhavasya, who has affection for the Lord and worships his feet, even if suddenly by chance he commits some sinful action, Utpatitam Katanchit, the Supreme Lord situated in the heart, purifies all of that. And so you take shelter of Krishna and he'll get rid of it. Because it's not that we get rid of it ourselves. So if we can't get rid of it ourselves, only Krishna can get rid of it. How will our prayaschitta get rid of it? Does that make sense? We can't get rid of it. So that means nothing that we do or prescribe will get rid of it. Only Krishna. So only if you please Krishna, then it goes away. But Krishna sees that you really want that to go away, then he'll take it away. Okay. Chapter 6, How to Discharge Devotional Service. 1272. Right, so now we've established before that, what was that? Purity. So now how to discharge. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, innumerable angas of bhakti are mentioned. Oh, chapter 6 now. Okay, so now we're on the 64 items. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, innumerable angas of bhakti are mentioned. Among those, the most famous ones will be explained to the best of my judgment. Right, so he's quoting from his elder brother's work. Like that. 1273. In bhakti, the characteristics of an anga are as follows. The learned define an anga of bhakti as a complex of devotional actions with internal divisions, or only one action of bhakti which does not have clearly defined differences within it. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami states that his elder brother, Sanatana Goswami, has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas, and therein has mentioned many rules and regulations to be followed by the Vaishnavas. Some of them are very important and prominent, and Srila Rupa Goswami will now mention these very important items for our benefit. The purport of the statement is that Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to mention only basic principles, not details. For example, a basic principle is that one has to accept a spiritual master. Exactly how one follows the instructions of a spiritual master is considered a detail. For example, if one is following the instruction of a spiritual master, but that instruction is different from the instructions of another spiritual master, this is called detailed information. But the basic principle of acceptance of a spiritual master is good everywhere, although the details may be different. Srila Rupa Goswami does not wish to enter into details here, but wants to place before us only the principles. Jiva Goswami's commentary. An example of a complex of actions is archana. Only one action means action without clear internal divisions, such as taking shelter of the guru's feet or standing when the deity procession comes. Atra in the verse stands for in bhakti. Right? So when you say archana, that has so many details within it, and they're all connected to each other. So that's why they use the complex of actions.
Mm-hmm. Mainly it means the thought over this and the principle and the detail.
Yes. But also just within that, yes. That yes. Principle. So some may have breakdowns, some don't. Mm-hmm. Right? It means I'm sure you could take standing when a deity procession comes, exactly how to stand, what to get up, you know, which foot to put down first, you know, and how straight you should be, and how your what mudra your hands will be in, and you know, what your clothes are looking like, and like that. But the point is here it just mentions that. It doesn't have further details. Like we see with deity worship, they have the five main items, so worship of the deity with faith, and then a lot of the 44 items are about deity worship. So that's a complex of actions. Like that. But one thing within that, it's also counted as an anga, one of the 64 angas. It may not have any further detail. Some of them may have. Like that. 1274. The list of angas is as follows. Taking shelter of guru, then after initiation, acquiring knowledge. Footnote 25. This comment echoes the traditional Vedic system of initiation, in which a person receives Vedic initiation, Upanayanam, with Vedic Gayatri Mantra. This qualifies him to study the Vedas. This tradition continued even with Pancharatrik initiation and study. However, when Nam Samkirtan became prominent, the requirement of Diksha before Siksha does not have the same importance. Right, so therefore, taking shelter means you surrender. Then, because it's within that aspect of devotion, it's about the Lord, then that's that submissive inquiry, that service attitude, that then you can gain this knowledge. Right? The other requires the formal initiation aspects, the Vedic and the Pancharatra. But the Bhagavat doesn't. It's an attitude of surrender. That's what makes it work. So if that's there, you get benefit, and if you're not, then you won't. Service to Guru with respect, following the rules according to the scriptures as approved by the Acharyas. Jiva Goswami's commentary. In the phrase Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam, the word Adi has the sense of in the beginning. Thus, the phrase means acquiring knowledge after or accompanied by initiation with Krishna Mantra. Saru Vartmanu Vartatam, following the path of the Acharyas, means following the rules of the Shruti and other scriptures enjoined by the Acharyas. Mm-hmm. So following the Acharyas means the directions that they give, not imitating, but doing what they recommend. 1275. Inquiry about the real duties of life. Renunciation of enjoyment to gain Krishna's mercy. Residing in Dwarka, the holy places, or near the Ganga. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Renouncing for the purpose of Krishna means renouncing for Krishna to gain his mercy in order to attain him. Right? We're gaining his mercy to attain pure bhakti, not we're gaining his mercy for karma or jnana. Hetu is put in the dative case to express that the action is for someone else, relating to a different person, Krishna. Right? So it's for him. But hetu is put into the possessive case to express obtaining something for oneself. Thus, he lives there for a purpose of getting food for himself. Anasya hetu avasati. However, in the present verse, the dative case indicates that the renunciation is for Krishna's case, for pleasing him. One can translate the phrase Krishnasya hetave as renunciation of enjoyment for pleasing Krishna. To get his mercy in order to obtain him. The word adi in the phrase bogadi tyaga means renunciation of enjoyment and desires for sons, wealth, and followers as well. So that's the adi. It means that's all else. So adi can mean in the beginning, but it can also mean this and everything that goes along with it. You know, all the details. Right? You know, it's like the rice adi. You know, it's the rice and everything that goes with the rice. 1276. Accepting only what is necessary in dealing with the body, observing the Ekadasi Vrata, giving respect to the Amlaki, Ashvata, and other items. Srila Prabhupada. He mentions the basic principles as follows. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. 4. Following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. Because you approach the previous through one's own guru, one can't do it, you know, directly. 5. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. 6. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up. And also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept. 7. You know, it's just like yes. Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan. 8. Accepting only what is necessary, or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. Right? So we deal how much is necessary with the material world, and we accept from that material world how much is useful in our service to Krishna. That's how it's defined. That's maintained. Does that make sense? So that means anything that goes along means I'm doing service, these things are useful in the service, these things are maintained. So what goes with maintaining it, these are the details that go along with it. So we're not, it's not performance of varnashram. You're maintaining that which maintains things in devotional service. Okay, so varnashram will maintain the body. Does that make sense? But we're not maintaining the body, we're engaged in service. So the body's engaged in service, therefore it's taken care of. So those duties within varnashram that maintain it, then those are performed. But it's not because you're performing varnashram for the benefit of maintaining the body. You're performing those activities as service to Krishna. So, preliminary bhakti should consist of these 10 angas. Right, so the preliminary means you do these ten angas that will situate you then properly in devotional service. These things then they're always done. So as it was mentioned before about these ten, the next 10 that we mentioned, and the last 5. That's the direct activities. You may not be doing anything else, and you're nicely situated. Or it can also mean that you're new in devotional service, so this is all you can do. You know, everything else is you haven't been able to understand yet, or the including the indirect activities, all these. So you just focus on these, you will progress. But these ten are important. Yes.
Right, and these ten are the nine, but about banyan tree worshipping.
That's taken care of by worshipping Tulsi.
But what is the significance? How it carries to devotion?
Sacred trees, because they're holy, so you're respecting anything that represents the Lord. Okay. Does that make sense? So you can have that aspect where you're seeing it more on the energies of the Lord, like that, or the activities of the Lord, or then the form and features of the Lord. Right? So then it's just a matter of the beginning is there. So for us, it's worship of Tulsi. Yes, then because then it's taking care of these aspects, but on the Bhagavan platform. The other one, then you're dealing with it on the Brahman and Paramount platform. Point is to be nicely situated. But we're respectful in any case.
When we say that these 10 items, there is an order. Means,
yes, generally you go through it like that.
Without accepting the spiritual master,
The rest of it doesn't work so well.
Yes.
So you have to accept the shelter and then follow the instructions.
Yes.
And then you're following the previous acharyas under the instruction there.
Yes.
And then inquiring how to advance. Not that, like before it was said, you just take initiation and now you're done.
Yes.
It's not a goal. That's just, that's how you situate yourself.
Yes. Did you come up with these 21 items? Guru Padashayadikam is the most important.
To take shelter of the yes, I think it comes up there, but also I think Prabhupada mentions those first three, unless they're all counted there, is that accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him, and obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. With that in place, the others will all, you can perform very easily. But if that's not in place, then the other ones won't quite give the results. You know, you might worship the banyan trees, but if you're not worshiping the guru, then...
There is room for speculation.
Yes. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada, these 10 items are preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service in regulative principles. In the beginning, if a neophyte devotee observes the above-mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make good advancement in Krishna consciousness. So you're following. So you see these are all worked into the temple program.
Yes.
You know, all these different things are worked in, they're regularly discussed.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
1.2.78-82. Okay. So like this big verse, this would be a anucheda. So whether it's the previous one, which is just like a statement, or it's this big, it's an anucheda. Okay. That's the idea. Okay. Giving up the association of those opposed to the Lord, not being attached. So the acharyas, then they would all organize their verses in, like that. Just Jiva Goswami formalized it as anucheda.
Because there's one complexity about anucheda is after some time, maybe in Krishna Sandarbha and all, he quotes group of anucheda just like we're quoting group of verses.
Okay, yeah. Because
so
then
the
those will all go together. Okay. Yeah.
That's it becomes more complex. You cannot say it as an adhikara
in itself. Okay.
That's the reason I
have
to
ask.
It's like a text.
Okay. Categorize it. Giving up the association. So these are the things you should avoid, right? Giving up the association of those opposed to the Lord. Not being attached to making disciples. Not being enthusiastic for huge undertakings. Avoiding the study of useless books in order to earn a living or defeat others in useless arguments. Not feeling miserable in any material circumstances. Means, how you say? Yeah, Prabhupada makes it more clear. He puts, one should not. Because you think it's, you should avoid these, you know, so. You should avoid not feeling miserable. So you should feel miserable. That's the other thing. No, it means, you're avoiding feeling miserable, so you're not feeling miserable in any material circumstances. Not being subject to lamentation or other extreme emotions. not showing disrespect to devatas, not giving disturbance to other living beings, not committing of seva aparad or nama aparads, not tolerating the criticism of Krishna and his devotees by those who hate them. These 10 angas should be observed by avoidance. That you observe these by not doing these. You know, means that those opposed to the Lord you don't associate with. You give that up. Being miserable in material situation, you give that up. Right? Srila Prabhupada. The next set of instructions is listed as follows. 1. One should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. 2. One should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. 3. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples or monasteries. 4. One should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on or professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. 5. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. 6. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. 7. One should not disrespect the demigods. 8. One should not give unnecessarily trouble to any living entity. 9. One should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshipping the deity in the temple. 10. One should be very intolerant towards the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. There will certainly be seva aparads and nama aparads for the person performing sadhana bhakti. However, after committing them, the person should be careful to avoid these offenses in the future. Right? Someone makes a mistake, then one tries to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The way the verse is mentioned, in Sanskrit it will make sense, you know, that this has to be followed by avoidance. So yeah. That's how the literal translation.
Yes, because it comes there. So the problem is if you literally translate but also don't put it in the form of that of this Sanskrit, then it doesn't work. So you see Prabhupada does very well in putting it, making it working within English and making it understandable within English.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So now we have a double chance. We have two acharyas speaking. We have two acharyas speaking with the same verse.
Yes, yes.
If we don't understand the first, we can understand the
second. Yeah. Somehow or another, right? 1.283. These 20 angas serve as the door for entering bhakti. The first three angas, taking shelter of the feet of the guru, receiving teachings after initiation, and serving the guru with respect, are said to be the principal ones. Right? So of the 20, so if these three are focused on nicely and the five direct activities, yes, like that, then you're nicely situated. Right? So these are the door of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada. Without following the above-mentioned 10 principles, one cannot properly elevate himself to the platform of sadhana bhakti, or devotion, service, and practice, because you're doing things that will get in the way of bhakti. The first 10 are what you should be doing. These next 10 are what you should avoid. And if you don't, these things that you should avoid are not being avoided, then there'll be obstacles to doing the 10 that are recommended. That makes sense. Okay. Without following the above-mentioned 10 principles, one cannot properly elevate himself to the platform of sadhana bhakti, or devotional service and practice. Right? So we're going from nothing up to taking shelter of sadhana bhakti. Then taking shelter of sadhana bhakti, we continue in that. That will bring us to bhava bhakti. Then a proper performance of bhava bhakti, that will bring you to prema bhakti. Altogether, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions 20 items, and all of them are very important. Out of the 20, the first three, namely accepting the shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence, are the most important. 1.2.40.84-92. Yeah, it seems the verse is not there. But it doesn't matter. We're getting the translation anyway. You can maybe ask him about that. Srila Prabhupada. 1. Marking the body with the Vaishnav symbols. 2. Marking the body with the syllables of the Lord's names. Yeah, because the whole thing there is about that these are the next ones. 3. Wearing the garlands, flowers, and sandalwood offered to the Lord. 4. Dancing before the deity. 5. Offering respects on the ground. 6. Rising up to see the Lord. Right, so you're bowing down to see the Lord, you're rising up to, right? Yes. One of the things, before you can move quick enough, if you can't, then you can't worry about it, is when you have these big groups like this, and it's so packed, if you want to offer obeisances, you have to be the first one down. So, when the kirtan ends, and everyone goes, Hariva, that's when you offer obeisances. Of course, you might get stepped on also, but at least you got a spot. And don't try to go down like you would normally. You have to curl in and go down. The idea is you get as small as possible and go down, and then you, because if you try to do it otherwise, there's no space.
Sometimes here, even they would teach right off the dandavat, even if it is packed.
Yeah, no, they're static enough, it happens. Following behind the Lord's possession. 8. Going to the Lord's residence. 9. Circumambulating the Lord or his Dhamma. 10. Performing archana. 11. Performing menial service to the deity. 12. Singing for the deity. 13. Singing in a group. 14. Performing japa. 15. Offering words or sentiments. Okay. I think if you notice, it might be marking the body, wearing garlands, dancing, offering respects, rising up, falling behind the Lord's possession, going to the body, Lord's residence, circumambulating the Lord, performing archon, performing menial service for the Lord, singing for the deity, singing in a group, or just performing menial service, that up to there. These are ones done with the body. Then we see is that you have ones with the words, because there's body, mind, and words. And the acharyas, sometimes they break them up into this, just to show that's what it is. It's just engagement of the body, mind, and words, so it's completely you're engaged in the Lord's service. That's what you're doing. Singing for the deity, singing in a group, performing japa, performing words, offering words or sentiments, reciting prayers, tasting food to the Lord, tasting the foot water of the Lord, smelling the incense, so now you're engaging here the senses. Touching the deity, seeing the deity, seeing the Artic and festivals, hearing the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord, accepting the mercy of the Lord. Okay, then remembrance of the Lord, now here mind, meditating on the Lord, acting as a servant of the Lord, thinking of the Lord as a friend, offering oneself to the Lord, offering the best items to the Lord, making full efforts for the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, serving Tulsi, studying the scriptures, living in Mathura, serving the devotees, holding festivals according to one's means with the devotees. Observing Kartik Vrata, observing Janmashtami and other special occasions. 40. Having faith and great affection for serving the deity. 41. Relishing Bhagavatam and association of devotees. 42. Associating with like-minded, affectionate, superior devotees. One of the 64 items, so it's not just it's what we do, it's one of the items. 43. Nam Samkirtan. 44. Living in the area of Mathura.
This is the main time.
Yes, you'll see some of them are repeated.
Yes,
because they're so important. But they're bringing out a different angle. One is you should perform the worship. Two, you should do it with faith.
Yes.
But so that one of associated devotees is like-minded, affectionate, superior devotees. The next important items are as follows. 1. One should decorate the body with tilak, which is the sign of the Vaishnavas. The idea is that as soon as a person sees these marks on the body of the Vaishnav, he will immediately remember Krishna. Unless, of course, the Srila Prabhupada's in the wrong place. And these 44 that have just been mentioned are, I think that is Rupa Goswami. That's the verse. And then the Srila Prabhupada comes to the next page. The next important items are as follows. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So somehow or another, because these numbers, then I guess, yes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you can just confirm that. Then they go into bold, no?
Yes.
Oh. clown, just as we're having fun. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaurapinda.